Shopify's already taken the cash register online, helping millions sell billions around the world. But did you know that Shopify can do the same thing at your retail store? Give your point of sale system a serious upgrade with Shopify. That's right, Shopify is the sound of selling everywhere. Online, in-store, on social media, and beyond. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. With Shopify POS, you can accept credit cards, mobile payments, and every other major payment method, all with low fees and transparent pricing, starting on day one. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/MLB podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/MLB podcast to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/MLB podcast.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending. With real-time notifications, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Welcome to Inside the Monster with Steve Perrault and Joey Capone.
We are back for another episode of Inside the Monster. It's episode 8. Presented by Odyssey. That is Joey Capone. I am Steve Perrault. Joey, that was another tough series loss, man. I'm in Tropicana right now, looking at the old field here. They're cleaning it up. They were using some leaf blowers earlier, and that kind of pushed back our start time of this podcast. But, oh, man, my complaints will stick with the product on the field this series. Really off the top here, though, Joey, your immediate thoughts as the Red Sox dropped 2 out of 3 in a series where it felt like they won 2 out of 3.
First thought.
Second thought?
Second thought. What?
I know.
What? I really went deep. Diving into my brain and into my heart last night after game 2 to try to find a positive. And I think the one positive I pulled away was this series made me realize how much I care about this team. It just is a great little reminder that, hey, the Bruins can win. The Celtics can advance to 3-0 against the Nets and against Kyrie. And you're going to go to bed just thinking about a Kevin Kiermaier walk-off and about how much that stings. That sucked, man. That sucked.
That was tough. I mean, we're mainly going to talk about game 2 today, Sunday, yesterday, if you're listening, Monday was just kind of a stinker. I mean, you get 2 runs early. They score 0 runs the rest of the game. 4 hits in the first inning, 2 hits the rest of the game. Valdez plunks a couple of guys. Brazier comes in. And as he's done all season, he lets up inherited runners. He lets them score. The wild pitch by Dykstra there. A Rosarena, I love that he just...
Yeah, what a dick.
And by love, I mean, like, as a baseball fan, he does this... He does stuff that just kind of bugs me. Like, he does this, like, why not stuff. Like, he's just kind of dicking around out there. Like, running in, there was no chance he was going to score
no.
there. Like, that was such a weird move.
It was like he pressed the wrong button or something. Dude, I think he does it because he has such crazy postseason luck that he has like no reason to not try it.
Yeah.
I think he's just learned that, when I do stupid stuff, it works out.
Yeah. Well, he had the steal of home, and weirdly enough, in that first game of the playoffs last year against the Red Sox, weirdly enough, when that happened, I was excited because I'm like, oh, now he's going to keep doing stupid things the rest of the series. Like, he's going to keep thinking he can just get away with stuff. Like, he's the classic type that I feel like he can't be told what to do ever. Those people, by the way, are the worst people ever. Like, the second you, like, try to give them any constructive criticism or any feedback, they, like, double down and get even worse. I feel like a Rosarain is the guy that you can't tell me nothing. And that's what Kanye made that song about, Can't Tell Me Nothing. It was about Randy Arozarena when he made that
the
song.
One that's
like
featuring Randy Arozarena.
Yeah. When he made that song 15 years ago. But it's that play was weird to me. It's like, what are you doing? But no, overall in this, you know, most recent game here in game three, I'm sick of it, Joey. I'm sick of the early runs and then crickets the rest of the way. And I understand. Like, I'll give you the fact that JD's been out. And, you know, he was taking BP here. He's running in the outfield. He was trying to give it a go. I always think, especially in April, it is the absolute right call to be cautious with these guys instead of forcing them back into a game that, you know, I guess grand picture, you know, big picture, you need it, but you don't really need it. So it's like have him play in Toronto, have him get that series in Baltimore where he mashes and then come back to Fenway. But it was noticeable, Joey, his absence, JD's absence from the lineup was noticeable, and they just can't really string anything together outside of like the first and second inning. That's been a thing this year. I know we're still in April, but early in games there, it's a lot of this run scores, another hit. Yeah. That was Friday and Sunday, where it's, you know, single. That's the thing. It's not a lot of extra base hits. But you thought today it was going to be like, all right, tough loss on Saturday. Absolutely should have won that game. We'll talk about that more in a sec. But you thought that, you know, in the first inning, they're coming out, everybody's getting on base, and then just crickets the rest of the way. And it's frustrating.
It is. It's very frustrating. First of all, I will say, I don't know if you saw moments before we started recording, that it's official that JD is making the trip to Canada.
Okay.
So
yeah,
whether or not he's in, you know, the first game.
He should be.
On Monday, you know, yeah, fingers crossed. But that's something. But yeah, you said right before we started recording, like, gotta stop falling for the early offense, game's over feeling. Yeah. I'm such a sucker for that. I'm a sucker for believing that any feeling or emotion that comes my way is permanent. Like, this is just the way it's gonna be. I said to you after we won game one against the Blue Jays last series, I was like, oh, here comes a sweep. We won, so now we're gonna keep winning. And yeah, after we went up 2-0, I was like, ugh, well, like, it's over. It's already over. there were six hits in this game. Four of them came in the first inning. So, the offense is coming in bunches at an almost comical rate. You know, nine innings in game two of nothing, like absolutely nothing. And then, you know, a two-run 10th inning. And then a two-run first inning. And then another borderline silent seven right after it.
I know. No, it's less than ideal. I mean, you got to give McClanahan credit. He gives up the two earned runs in the first inning, gives up four hits in the first inning. The rest of the way, he went seven innings total, only gave up another two hits the rest of the game with seven Ks. And by the time he was out of the game, it felt like it was over. That's another tough thing. These short deficits late in games, you're not feeling like they're coming back. Like, it's really, and I know it's early in the season, I get it. But you're not feeling like, oh, Sox are going to, doesn't matter. Sox are going to find a way.
Well, yeah, I mean, the offense hasn't given you any reason to believe, like, oh, they'll just come alive.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's been the tough part. That's been the tough part, is that you want them to at least give you reason to believe, okay, they're going to be able to string something together. But, you know, if we keep following this trend here, it's brutal. I mean, it's hard to watch. And there are times, Joey, I got to say, one of my favorite parts of this series, because we're going to, you know, you always got to sprinkle in some positivity.
Go for it.
One of my favorite parts of the series was talking with people that listen to our program here on Inside the
Monster. Oh, so it was not on the field?
No.
Okay. One of my favorite parts of this was when I wasn't watching.
If I'm talking on the field, and we're kind of jumping all over the place here, it was nice to see Backpacks, end that game on Friday. But, it was great talking to people at the park. And, Joey, I got to say, a lot of times when I'm interacting with folks that listen to our show, you kind of lose track of the game a little bit. I'm not saying that as a bad thing, because I'm missing nothing. Like, I'm looking back over, and, you know, on Friday and Sunday, probably interacted with the most listeners on those 2 days. Mm-hmm. And from the third inning on, in both situations, fourth inning on, whatever, just crickets. Like, just absolutely nothing at the plate. Can't get anything going. Complaining at strike calls that are whatever. Some are borderline. But the second you start blaming the umps and making that seem like it's the issue, it's in your head. And I really don't like seeing that. and they really got to stop doing that. But yeah, it's disappointing, man. I don't know if you had anything else from this game, but obviously we want to talk a little more on 1 and 2.
Yeah, I was going to say, in the exact opposite vein, dude, I missed the first two pitches of this game. I turned on the telly and saw, like, pitches two, Boston won. Like, I was like, how? What? There's no way. I was so mad, man. I was so mad. I, like, rushed home. I feel like every game this series, I, like, had to get home for. I'd, like, get there just in time.
Well, hey, 6:10 start on a Saturday is weird. That's a weird start time.
It totally is. But today, I mean, I should have been. I thought it was a 3 today for some reason. I don't know.
Yeah, so did Jermai. I think everybody thought it was a 3. Was there some schedule that showed it as 3? There's a chance that one of the schedules showed it as 3. I don't know.
Listen, if Jermai thinks so, man, I'd believe that somebody else messed up and Jermai wasn't mistaken. I'd believe that.
Jermai has never been wrong.
But I was a bozo. I decided to stop at McDonald's on the way home. So because of that, I missed like the entirety of the offense in game 3 here.
Isn't that feeling the worst, by the way, when like you miss offense in the first couple of innings, first inning or two, and then the time you get to watch is the poop time. It's just complete nothing. Yeah. That's tough.
I saw Diekman's wild pitch. That was pretty sick.
I know. That was brutal, man. Yeah. Ball barely goes any further. I mean, obviously you want to have Vasquez get that. Diekman's control is all over the map. He has been all over the place. Walks 3 guys on Friday in a closing situation. That's been a problem.
That was brutal. That was another time that I had the Beaker Muppets tweet ready to go.
Yeah.
That was a really scary ending.
It might be
there,
a sign, Joey. Maybe don't have that tweet ready to go and he's going to pitch well.
I'll tell you, I didn't walk away from game 3 of this series being like, man, I can't wait to like have the Jake Diekman tweet ready to go next time around. No. So yeah, I mean, it's not at the top of my to-do list right now. But speaking of the bullpen, dude, bummer that the Valdez streak and the Robles streak came to an end.
I know.
In the same series. Just a bummer. Valdez came in with 8 scoreless innings into today.
I know. It seems like this happens. He'll have a stretch like that and then just an implosion. I mean, he gets 1 out, credited for 1 out, 3 earned runs, 1 walk, and I believe he plunked 2 guys. So that's not great. Brazier comes in and... Again, I think everybody's on Brazier, and you know it's understandable. But a lot of times he's coming in situations where it was brief last year. Obviously, he didn't pitch much last year, but he was getting out of these jams, and now he's not this season. Still early in the year, so the Brazier thing, everyone's like, oh, just cut him, just release him. It's like you only have so many arms out there. You can't just start cutting guys. That's not how it works.
Yeah.
But yeah,
I don't know if I'm there. I'm definitely not there.
No. But still, I mean, you know, Hyman. I think all these guys are going to give the team a lot of time to at least adapt to what would be a normal spring training. I know Barnes alluded to it after his outing on Friday that, you know, we're finally right now where opening day would have been. So understandable that guys are going to be a little bit choppy, but it's just not great to see, especially when your lineup can't string a lot of runs together or really any runs together at all, Joey. 2.6 runs per game in this series in St. Pete. 1.6 runs per game.
From the prior series.
I was going to say 1.6 against the Blue Jays. That was definitely in Toronto. So I don't know. It's been tough. I do want to talk game 1. We'll talk 1 and 2 here. I just kind of walking around the park, Joey. Wanted to get different vantage points from this splendid park that is Tropicana Field. And I got to say, one of the better spots is in right field. It's by the foul pole, and you're pretty close to the field. There's normally a lot of seats open over there. They don't really check you or anything, and it doesn't matter. I got the enchilada, but sitting over there, you know, a couple people are going to meet up in a few innings, a couple listeners of the pod, and I'm like, all right, Raffy's up right now. I'm going to record because that's what I do when Raffy's up, and I don't always record every Raffy at bat, but sometimes I get the home run tingles, and that's when I record.
You got the tingle jingles?
The tingle jingles. Basically, it's the home run tingles it's kind of like a spidey sense. It's kind of like...
Where do you feel it? Would you say that you feel it physically?
It's kind of in my brain.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like it's like my head tingles. And so that's a lot of mass to tingle. It's a big head. So it's basically, I'm like, wait a second. Like, it's almost like a buzz. It's like when you get a text or something. But it's my brain getting a text of like, yo, record this because he's probably going deep. And I have now recorded all of Raffy's homers, 1 in New York, 1 in Boston, 1 in St. Pete. So the ball, I'm telling you, Joey, I don't know how many times you're in the bleachers or what your favorite vantage point is. It's good here because the bleachers aren't that deep, so you're pretty close to the field.
Mm-hmm. And this has happened to me a couple times. Once in Baltimore when JD hit a rope that went like two rows behind me. When the ball is off the bat and it's anywhere near your vicinity, at least where your vision is, you just assume it's coming for you. Like it's immediately just like, this is my moment. I'm going to catch a home run. I'll give it to a kid. Don't worry. I probably might keep it, but no, I'll give it to a kid.
I wouldn't.
No, but I'm just saying, in the back of my head, enchilada. So I'd probably give it to a kid, a lot of kids out there. But I always want to say, you know, on my deathbed, Joey, I want to say I caught a home run in a major league game.
Do you get panic when you see the ball coming your way?
Oh, immediately like your heart pounds. It's like a boom. Oh, it's like one big boom.
Oh no!
And it's like you just get hit by this wave of like, and you're like, I gotta
forget how your hands work real quick.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're just like walking around like this doesn't make sense. I'm not gonna catch it like that. And so, but then naturally your brain catches up and you're like. Home runs don't just go like straight. Like a lot of times, especially down the line, they're going to have tail on them. And so sure enough, there's a family next to me. And like if I was going to catch the ball, I would have had to plow through them. And I'm already thinking about Red Sox stats, tweeting that gif out. And so I'm like, I'm just not. Let's avoid it. And it lands a couple rows behind me. So my quest to catch a home run is still out there. But that game, I'm telling you, man, it felt like the Red Sox were up like 8-1 in the fourth inning of game one. And I'm looking up and I'm like, it's a little weird. It's still 4-1. And then Franco comes up. I'm like, I bet he hits a bomb, 4-2. And you get a little later in the game, and it's like, what's going on here? All the vibes were leading towards bad loss, and they somehow shut the door in the ninth after Diekman walks the bases drunk, and then Barnes comes in with Wander Franco up.
I know.
And gets that out. That was,
I know.
In terms of P Pants level, that was a good old 10 out of 10.
This whole series made no sense, man. Every game ended just the opposite. If you took like the, a live line or something, you'd be a wealthy fella right about now. That because that game for sure, I had no hope when the bases were loaded. Franco came up with one out, and Diekman was walking like hanging his head, walking.
Franco
off
two
the mound.
Outs. Two outs with Franco coming up. Two outs.
Two outs with Franco up. Okay, let me tell you a couple of numbers here.
Yeah.
Okay, this is in reference to Jake Diekman in that ninth inning. 33, 67, 31, 44. Do you want to guess what those numbers are?
You just threw that was a lot of numbers. I know one of them's a ton of balls.
That is how many seconds between pitches Jake Diekman was taken in the ninth inning.
33 balls. That's a long time.
There was a moment. It's 67 seconds. There was no... No time granted. There was 67 seconds. Dude, like when I see Diekman start to take longer and longer than usual, I mean, you just, the confidence fades by the second.
You know, X got to be losing his mind. He wants pitchers to go. He does not like, he's like, this guy's moving at the speed of stink.
Come
like,
on.
You got to go. Yeah. You got to go. But that was tough, man. Not the finest outing for Diekman. He gets two outs and walks three guys, one strikeout, and Barnsey comes in. Hey, we got a topic about this series that happened in every game that we must discuss is Trevor Story's defense and how it makes you feel a little weird so far as a Sox fan because you're like, this guy's glove is elite. Trevor Story has an elite glove, but he's a shortstop playing second, so he's more used to a longer throw. I get it.
Right.
But he's also a big leaguer, and he is a ball player, and I kind of think these throws should be better. We'll get to game two in a sec, but in each
you're talking
game
about the double play right
I'm talking
now
about
Xander?
The DP right now. He kind of collects it, gives Xander a tough throw, and that would have ended the game. Obviously Barnes comes in and closes it out, so the Red Sox win anyway. But some of these throws, he'd be the first to tell you too. I mean, he's got to clean it up. I know he said after the Saturday game, he's like, that's on me. So it's just been noticeable even in this game on Sunday. It was another tough throw to Bobby, and he had to pick it on a good stab. You know, he's really good. He's good at ranging to his left and right, specifically his left. Like, he's really good at, like, stabbing the ball, especially off of the turf that has some zip on it. And he can get that thing, you know, completely corral it and be ready to go. And if anything, he's rushing it. And it's hard to get on him too much right now, considering it's April. And his baseball brain tells him, I got to go now instead of I got to go now. That's a big difference. That half a second from the throw from short versus the throw from second is a huge difference, and I think he'll finally, as we go along here, get used to it.
Yeah, I like that the pressure on Story is not as high as it could be, you know? Yeah. It's nice to know that he's in a place, in a city, on a team where he is not immediately met with the pressure to be the guy, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Which, and with that, a lot of other cool. free agents, that's the case. You got to be the guy immediately. The guys that just right. signed, Correa, Baez, you know, you go down the list.
Yeah.
Freeman.
It's nice that
Freeman's a bad example because they have 8 million guys over there. But anyway.
Right. But you still expect him to be Freddie Freeman right yeah. away just because he was like the free agent. I guess you could argue Correa was. But yeah, whatever. Yeah. Either
Both
way.
Of them.
But Story was never picked up to be like, you know, the MVP of this team. So it's nice that there's not that pressure offensively on him. And that there's some understanding around his defense that he is playing a new position.
Yeah.
People are being a little open-minded about it. I don't think anybody is, or anybody with like a brain anyway, is actually concerned or out on Story or like upset about his performance. I think everybody, from what I'm seeing anyway, is in a pretty similar boat, which is, man, can't wait till this stops. Because it will stop.
Yeah.
I just want it to sooner than later. The defense stuff, there are some that are understandable, some that are a little tougher too. That double play you're talking about to Xander was really weird because it's a 5 foot underhand toss.
Yeah.
And it's like, it just, like, just chill, man. You want to tell him, like, dude, it's all right. Take a breath, man.
Yeah.
It's all
good. You're good.
But the throws to first are a little more understandable. It's a totally different angle that you're throwing from. And I don't want to jump to game two already.
No,
unless you just want to get there.
My last thought on game one is that there's something brewing here with Bogey and Story. Like, not even like that, whatever. That feed to Bogarts, whatever. They both had great plays in that game. Xander jumps up, snags a ball that I thought he had no business getting. That was incredible. That might have been in the gap, honestly. And Story had multiple great plays of his own. And there seems to be this, like, there's a mutual respect there of, like, all right, we're on the same team. If anything, and maybe I'm reading too much into this, it's putting the BS aside of, like, they just brought in my replacement. Like, it's, I think they're out there, they're grown-ups. And they're like, if we're going to do anything of relevance this year, we both need to be great. And we both need to hold each other accountable. And when I see pictures of both of them, I'm like, that's two studs right there. Those are two ball players. Those are two guys that have been there, done that. All-stars. Guys that hit bombs. That obviously Xander gets critiqued for his defense, but it's more that his range isn't as big as everybody else. Xander's a good defender if you're not going to get into Fort Borbzorp. So I'm sensing it a little bit with them. That there's chemistry building and that there's a little hold each other accountable element to it. And I like what I see, Joey. I really do. I mean, there's going to be errors along the way. There's going to be, you know, Story adjusting to the distance of the throw to first base when he's used to it coming from short. But I think their relationship, the relationship between Xander and Story, is extremely important to the overall success of this year's team. And yeah. I can feel they got a good buzz going so far.
I wish that I felt so differently about what you just said. You know, I wish that inspired, like, I'm just...
No, they hate each other.
I don't know. No. It's just that I'm preparing myself. I'm just pre-sad for whatever's down the line.
No, get that out of here.
We're
not talking
that. It's hard not to. I know. It's April. I know.
That thought has been ejected.
Yeah. Oh, it's out of my brain now.
That's
now
definitely
I'll just
what
feel great,
too,
Steve.
When they kick you out. You have been ejected.
Hey, you're get out of here.
Get out of here,
thanks,
mister.
Man. Now I feel so much better. Now I see them and I say, wow, I can't believe this is our middle infield for the next 8 years.
Game two,
dude. It's funny. My first one here is actually another tough story play. Trying to turn two again. It's like the easier the play is, the harder it is for him sometimes. But
something that needs to be, like, I'm sure people get this and I'm sure most fans understand this, but seeing it live, and I hate being like, I was here, so I saw it live. But like, you notice the ball flies off the infield here. Like if mm-hmm. you hit a rope and it skids off the turf, it flies. Like it is not like Fenway at all. So mm-hmm. that adjustment is what I'm almost most impressed with for Story, because he's not used to playing on fake fields. Like, this isn't, I don't know how many he had in Colorado, but in terms of road games. But yeah, I just, that can't be understated, because again, when you go off your baseball instincts, and a guy like him, that's what you have to do as you're trying to adjust to second base. You think you have more time to get to the ball, and you don't. And more often than not, basically every time he got to the ball this series, it was, we're just talking throws. And if that's the case, I'm not worried. That's just adjusting to the length of the throw to first base. So the tricky part, though, Joey, and I don't want to, we'll get to this in a second, actually. I don't want to fast forward too much. I just wanted to say combined no-hitters are so stupid. Like,
what's
it's not
the point?
It's so dumb. It shouldn't count.
Knock it off.
The point of a no-hitter is the guy that did it, the guy that gave up the no-hits, not six dudes.
Yeah, you can't cheer for an organization getting a no-hitter. You know, you're not going to tune in to a combined no-no.
Yeah.
You know?
And I got to say, the vibe, and obviously the vibes in Tropicana Field are what they are. This is different than any other park in the bigs. But it wasn't no-hitter energy, I'll tell you that much. Even after Jackie grounds out, and it's essentially a no-hitter. They had no-hit the Sox for nine innings. It was just like, it was like your cheer for just forcing it to the bottom of the ninth in a tie game.
Yeah.
It wasn't like we just no-hit the Red Sox for nine innings. So combined no-hitters can get the hell out. Like, I got no time for it. And I'm glad it didn't happen officially. Like, obviously you get the nine innings and then Bobby hits the triple. And the place, I mean, there's so many Sox fans here. That's one thing that I did love about the trip, is it just feels like Fenway South. I know we say that about JetBlue, but like Tropicana is just loaded with Sox people. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah. One thing that happened in this game I wanted your thought on, because you were not watching.
Yeah, I wanted your takes on like the broadcast element, because I do miss a lot of stuff being
Uke is just gosh darn lovely.
Yep.
After a nice story play, I forget exactly what it was, but it was a nice little scoop. Uke called him the author.
Wow.
Yeah.
I actually like that a lot.
And it flowed pretty nicely. It felt really natural. I was like, the author. Okay.
That's pretty good, Kevin.
I like that. yeah, beyond that, the first nine was really,
I thought you were going to have like a list of stuff. You're like, said the author.
That was kind of it.
That was it.
It was just such a bummer, man. I'll be honest, man. After the game ended, because I don't even really want to talk about how it ended. After it ended, it felt like I got dumped. Like, my heart hurt.
Yeah.
I was like, I sat there just like sighing. Just, God.
Yeah.
I went and I got Ben and Jerry's out of my fridge. I sat down and ate a whole pint of chocolate therapy in the dark. And
wow.
I wasn't until like,
dude,
got
that's
up.
Season
and-
over stuff. You're doing that for an April game at the Trop.
I don't know what this was. I tweeted, it's April, because for whatever reason, this one like really, really hurt. I think it had
something
to do
with... Well, the Saturday game, of course. Oh, well, the game was over. That's why it hurt.
It was done. I was already celebrating. And then like it was the fact that it was like Bob who broke it up.
Yeah, you were already like popping champagne in the streets and stuff. And then you had to go back to Ben and Jerry's mode.
But like for those who don't know, I love Bob. I hate that he's struggling.
Oh, we all do. I think that's the tough part, is that Bob is one of the most liked Red Sox players among the fan base.
For sure.
And so if he's struggling, like, everybody struggles with it. Like, people don't want to talk about Bob doing poorly because he's a great dude.
Yeah.
So
and the few tweets that are out there that are like, send him to Worcester, everybody's like, shut up.
Yeah.
Don't say those.
Get destroyed. Those tweets get blown up immediately. But, yeah, I mean, it was – I got to say, dude, the Rays – bullpen, I swear they have a factory like under the bleachers where they just make these guys and just like send them over to their bullpen.
Oh,
that's
okay,
on the
you're
field.
Talking about the personnel.
Yeah,
I thought you were like, talking about the fact that their bullpen is just a mound in foul territory.
Oh no! Oh, don't even get me started on the in-play bullpens.
Okay.
That's the
we'll
stupidest
talk about that.
Thing.
Yeah.
I hate that. It's so dumb. But no, I swear they have a factory here in the Trop. There were a couple, I'm walking around, kind of seeing what I can get access to and what I can get footage for the Inside the Monster page. There's a couple of doors that are like, something's going on behind that door.
There's a big like steel door.
Yep.
That says cloning machines inside.
Yeah, it says bullpen cloning machine.
Yeah, and it's like glowing green around the hinges.
Yeah.
And there's guys with guns standing outside of it. That, yeah. Is that the? Did you get access to that room, by the way?
No, I didn't. But that's where they make these guys. That's where they make Fire Raisin and Guerra and Springs and Adam and Thompson and Kittredge. That is where they are all made. And yeah. I don't like them.
Fire Raisin is a fun name, huh?
Dude, I'm telling you. You could, like, in the box score for the Rays bullpen, you could put, like, you could put the most random name of all time. You could have, like, Richard Kadumpalot, and I'd be like,
Sir Richard Kadumpalot.
Richard Kadumpalot has a filthy cutter, and he set the Sox down in the seventh as the combined no-hitter continued. I swear, they're just all the
same.
And
then their career, the second they leave the trap, too, it's like,
yeah.
What happened to that guy? Didn't he have like 14 scoreless appearances?
Well, here's the thing, Joey. There's an energy that comes out of that green lit room that it's kind of like a wireless charging pad. Like if you're close enough, then you get that extra jolt and you can like pitch at a ridiculous level. I swear this is all true.
Is that why your phone died during the game? Do you think
that gives off an alter effect on road media phones. And so that's why my phone died.
They're taking your battery.
I gotta say, I had a moment before I left the hotel for the game on Saturday where I saw my battery was at 60%, and my charging case was in the room, and I was about to get in the Uber. I'm like, no, I'll be good. And you know when like you know you won't be good, but you just go along with it. You're like, no, I'm good. And then the ninth inning's coming around, and I'm like, I'm at 6%. I don't know. This isn't looking great, still got to record a quick reaction to the Kiermaier walk off. But dude, the story throw. He said it after the game.
Okay.
He had more time. Let's talk about it, because that was the play of the series. If that play's made, Sox win 2 out of 3 instead of the Rays winning 2 out of 3. I can't remember a play, at least in recent memory, that clearly one play was the difference in a series shifting like that, because that was one.
I'm going to say it.
Uh-oh.
All right. I hate to be the guy who plays down the middle and the devil's advocate and all that, but it's what I do, and it's also what I truly believe in this situation.
Yeah.
They were both at fault.
I think it's true.
There was teams on Twitter, and I did not like it. Folks, if we could refrain from team it was Bob versus team it was Trevor, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Because I love both of them. I'd like us to not be doing that.
You're like, team it was neither.
team, they're both good guys.
They're both good guys.
They're both decent men. They're both gamers.
They're decent men. If you were in the reply saying they're decent men.
Excuse me. A video of me crying. I reply with a video. Like Bobby Dalbec, first of all, he's taller than you think, and he's cool. He plays a guitar. Dude, I was seriously, like, I was getting upset with, like, people showing, like, this angle. Like, how are you saying that's Bob's fault? And then someone over here, it's like, what that throw, if he's on the other side of the bag. Yes. Yes to both of you guys. Yes. They both made subpar defensive plays.
I mean, isn't it
Bob
obvious
was on
what
the wrong
happened?
Side of the bag? Huh?
Yeah. It's obvious what happened. Bob got
Bob's
there late
the
and
the
Story
and
threw early and to the left. It's a combination of things. I mean, most bad plays that happen in the infield, a lot of times it's a combo of things. It's a bad throw and then bad scoop. Or it's, you know, a bad throw, and then it's up, a bada boop. A bada boop can happen at any time. So it was unfortunate. The timing of it sucked. I got to say, Joey, extra innings, and I saw you tweet it, and I agree with you. The ghost, I don't necessarily forget about the ghost runner, but, like, you forget. It sounds so dumb. You forget that he can score easily. Like, I'm like, oh, right, he's on second. Like, he's not at the plate. So, like, he only has to hit two bases instead of four. And so a Rosarena after that random-ass balk that I don't even think was a balk by Robles, it's like, whatever. If he scores, it doesn't matter. But even though there's two outs, Sox are still up 2-0. When he scored on the Story throw, I don't know how that ball didn't get in the dugout, by the way. That had dugout written all over it. Somehow it stayed in play. I'm thinking, wait a second. A Rosarena scored, so that's one of the two runs they need. And and this is just dumb baseball brain, where it's like, no, extra innings – no runner second. Extra innings, runner plate. Four base, not two. Yeah. And so that's what throws me off. And that's my dumb caveman impression.
Were you still, after that play?
Yeah.
Kiermaier comes up. Were you still thinking, like, I mean, it's Robles. He's on a streak.
Yeah, I'm
like,
thinking game
crazy.
Over. And I love yeah, Kiermaier. I gotta say right now, Kevin Kiermaier is like a one seed in terms of I wish we had that guy. I have always wanted Kevin Kiermaier on the Red Sox. Also, best
but
looking
he's so
dude.
Handsome.
I think he's the best looking dude in the league.
I think he's so handsome. Yeah,
give me a better looking guy than Kevin Kiermaier, and I'll give you Elia.
It would take it would take quite a bit, and the what the worst part is that he made himself so gosh darn likable after when he was like, I've always wanted to hit a walk-off.
Oh my god, that was a great post game interview.
I love you, Tampa Bay.
And he's like,
I love this team.
I didn't even know what I was doing. I was just running around like I was a 12-year-old out there. I'm like, dude, I already love you. Like, can we stop? Like, now you're going to make me lose my credential. Like, what are we doing? I'm going to be like, can I get a hug, Kevin? I love you.
Kevin, that was pretty cool that you did that. Yeah, it was the worst, dude, because I'm sitting there, like, with a broken heart and then see this clip of Kevin just, like, celebrating his wife, congratulating him on Twitter.
I know.
Like, oh,
my God. He got the Gatorade shower. Dude, it was that was major, like, FOMO. I'm like, I wish that was us. Like, that sucked. Yeah. I just hate the whole way it went down. Where it's like once Story stabbed the ball, right? Once he fielded it, I'm like, oh, game's over. And again, yep. He said it. He should have taken more time, and he should have. And Bob might have got there late, so his momentum's coming towards the plate instead of being balanced on the base that he can lean out to left or right and get the ball. A funky play. That is. I know that's a swear word, but it was a funky play, and it cost them the series. I know a lot of times we always say, like, oh, that cost them. But, like, that specific play cost
literally
them winning the series. And there's nothing else about it. So it sucks that Robles' scoreless streak ends. I mean, I know it's no earned runs. But that game was so weird, dude. Like, you just look up and there's so many. I've never seen that many zeros on a baseball scoreboard. Like, just zeros across the board. And it was Whitlock. That's the thing. I almost forgot about Whitlock's start.
It was the Whitlock start.
It was the Whitlock start. So many weird things happened.
It completely overshadowed it, dude. It really did. And it's a bummer.
I know.
Because he did great.
He was so good.
Everyone left talking about a mistake that was made by the Red Sox rather than the fact that Garrett Whitlock made his first major league start. And my gosh, was he dominant.
Four innings, one hit, no runs, seven Ks. Yeah, man. I mean, there's not much more to say about Whitlock. Like, I love his pace. I love his presence. I love his demeanor. And I love that he can be used in any situation. It needs to be repeated every show that we do that this is so hard what he's doing. Like, I can close this day. I can start this day. I can give you three innings out of the pen this day from, like, the fourth to the sixth. Like, what? This just doesn't happen. Like, I know baseball is going that direction, and we're going to see more Garrett Whitlocks as we move along here, likely. Mm-hmm. But he's just 101, man. And the fact that it's a Rule 5 guy still blows my mind. But, yeah, it's a shame on that game that it overshadows a very, very, very good start, first career start for Garrett Whitlock. And the Red Sox find a way to lose. I wanted so badly to be able to say that I saw the Red Sox get no hit for nine innings and win that game. Like, that would have been a cool thing to say when I'm, like, 60. And now it's just, like, what do you say? Like, oh, the Sox got no hit through nine, and then they scored two in the 10th, and then they lost in the bottom of the 10th. It sucks. Now it just sucks.
It's an awful story. That's a terrible story, Grandpa.
Yeah, I know. Story sucks. Yeah. But, it was tough, man. I mean, shout out to Dom and his wife, Chrissy. I spent most of the game with them. They had the Xander is great sign.
No way.
So that's the first Xander is great with the Inside the Monster handles on it and everything. They were phenomenal. Great time hanging out with them. And again, this is going to make Xander stay here, all right, if we have Xander is great sign. So we recommend more of them. But, yeah, man, that was a tough loss. It's just funny how quick things change in extra innings. Like, the mood in extras changes so fast. I feel like our baseball brains get so comfy with two outs and, like, one out remaining in the whole game, and it's like one swing can change it. I almost forgot that they could lose because it was so late. It was just like, oh, right, if he hits a homer, it's over. Oh, it's over.
And the fact that they brought in two runs, really, the fact that there was insurance.
I know.
Like, yeah, here we go.
That was tough, man. Yeah. That was tough.
Really tough. Really tough.
But yeah, Red Sox lose the series, man. Combined no-hitters are stupid, so I'm glad it didn't happen. They should have won that game, and I'm upset. I got a quick Tropicana Field breakdown, but anything else from you for the first from the first three games of the series?
Yes, actually. Blue jerseys.
I love them. Wait, are we different?
What are we doing?
Oh, we differ on this, right? I love the navies.
Well, now we can't wear them again. No, but the we were told in our interview with AC in episode one, you're going to see them less because Eddie was the one choosing to wear them. So in game one, so that also was the tip that, hey, like our starting pitchers pick.
Yeah.
Pick what we're wearing. So in game one, I'm like, oh, Waka chose blues? And then I was like, there's no way Whitlock chose the blues. He's...
Yeah.
And then, like, there's no way that that's what happened. It seemed like it was dictated, right?
That's what I thought. Like it. But, hey, I like the blues. I like the blues. But anyway, real quick Tropicana Field breakdown. Last time I was here was 20 years ago. Dad brought us over from our Sanibel spot, saw Pedro pitch, a gem. And I remember thinking this was the worst park I've ever been to by far. Not much has changed, but I got to say, Joey, I enjoy how funky this place is. Like, I enjoy how weird it is. Like,
jeez,
it's.
Please.
No, I know. That's a couple. I know. But I love the Ray Tank. I think that's cool. I like quirky baseball stuff. That's cool. It's just so weird. It's so weird here. The audio travels terribly. The fan base is bizarre. The cowbells are so annoying. There was this older gentleman next to me today. Mm-hmm. Anything, a strikeout, a walk, just clang, 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 clang. I'm like, dude, stop.
Knock it off.
Knock it off, old man. But cowbells are so dumb. They have this party deck up in like it's not a party at all. It's like an Office episode where Michael Scott throws a party and no one shows up. That's what it's like up there. It's terrible.
Does the sign say this is the party deck?
It's essentially, it's like this is party deck. Like, no, this isn't. No one's partying. This stinks up here. So... if you walk around the park, I do like that they have a lot of like memorabilia from past stuff. I mean, obviously the 162 porch or whatever is a pain to walk by. That memory will always be brutal. But they got some cool items from the inaugural season in 98. Got a Rosarena's bat from the World Series, some Longoria stuff from that last night in 2011, which is always a nightmare. They have two things that I learned from Stevie D, Ness and Camera Guy, that there are two yellow seats in the right field bleachers here. One of them is where Wade Boggs' 3,000th hit landed, home run.
Oh.
And the other one is where a Wade Boggs home run landed. It was the first home run in Tropicana Field history. So I feel like I learned something new, that they got a couple yellow seats out there. And I always like that, by the way, Joey. I love the red seat. Obviously, we can talk forever about how there's no way Poppy with a metal bat didn't reach that or hit it that far. But I do like that stuff about a ballpark, the specific of the park. But this area is fine. The park, it feels like a minor league game. Like, you know, they do a lot of gimmicky stuff. And it's the floors are so sticky, man. You walk around, I think sticky. Geez. If you're a kid, like, you just wouldn't notice any of this stuff. You'd think, like, this is what Major League Baseball is. I feel bad for, like, kids that have only been to this park. And it's
don't
like,
you feel like that's there's no one like that though? The Rays feel like a fan base where like there's no way there's fans of that team.
No, I know. It's a lot, and it's funny because every Uber I took three Ubers over to the park for all three games, and every driver like was almost like apologetic. They were all like, "Yeah, you know, more fans should be going, man. More fans should be going." A couple of them didn't even know that baseball was starting up again.
Oh, good.
Yeah, so they thought it was still off season, but. I don't know. The area just does not reek baseball at all. It's the exact opposite. It's like there's just other stuff going on. It's not far from the water. The St. Petersburg Pier was cool. Did that on Saturday. But overall, man, I mean, it's the lights kill you. These bright lights hurt. Yeah. I can't imagine playing the outfield here. They picked the one color for the roof that's the color of the damn baseball. Like, pick purple or anything. And you picked white, and then you have these lights that are just blinding. I understand why a lot of weird stuff happens in the outfield. Like, it makes perfect sense.
It totally does. I'm about to say something really dumb or really smart, okay?
Okay.
It's up to you. You decide.
Yeah.
It's Florida, right? So that's
That is really dumb. Are you in Georgia? Is it Georgia or Florida?
Is Tampa its own country? No. It's in Florida. Am I dumb to say they don't need a dome? They could play outside?
No, they could play outside.
Right? Is there a lot of rain in Tampa? Is there something I don't know about?
I think it can just get really hot. So, like, I think it's more the AC factor of it. It's a controlled climate. I mean, Miami, I think that's retractable, unless that's consistently a dome. I don't know.
I think theirs at least has like window, like the back wall is glass.
Yeah, at least like sun it's comes like through. That's the thing about this place. No sun in here. I'm still in the park. They got the leaf blowers still going. My God. And it's just these bright white lights that just hurt your head. And yeah, man, it just doesn't feel like a ballpark. But anyway, the Wade Boggs statue, by the way. It looks somebody said it was Cole, shout out to Colby. He gave me a Colby is the nicest dude ever. Big time listener gave me a Pedro and Nomar jersey card, which is just like sweet spot. Love that. Thank you, Colby. But was chilling with him for the Friday game. And I think he said it. I don't know who said it, but someone said that it looks like the Big League Chew logo guy. And I'm like, it definitely does. I know Pellerin alluded to it on Twitter, too. Like it's the weirdest statue I've ever seen. And the fact that like Wade Boggs is right behind him, the like the picture of Wade, the real live Wade Boggs is standing there. No, but like a picture of him is right behind the statue. And it's like, you couldn't have missed this more. This is like, this looks like some weird old guy that's got like gum in his mouth.
If you're gonna have a statue that looks that bad, you got to keep any photos of the real Wade Boggs far away. You know, you can't have a reference right there. So you can be like, oh, wow, look how inaccurate this is. But yeah, I mean, it was a little cartoony. I thought maybe they were going for that. But the more I looked at it, man, the more I was like, yeah, it was no, this just.
It was tough.
Looks like he's having an allergic reaction to something.
Yeah, not ideal. But my last thing and last kind of gripe about Tropicana Field is that the wild card banners are the same exact thing as like the AL champion banner from 08. Like you need to decipher though. Like first off, you shouldn't have wild card banners. That's crazy. But AL East, I'm fine with you putting something up for when the AL East, especially if you're the Rays, minimal payroll. I get it. But like your AL, the AL champion banner should really pop out. That should be like, this was the best moment of our franchise's history because it was. And yet it's the same size, same font as 2011 wild card. Like that just shouldn't be the case at all. No. So didn't
wild card banner is tough. Wild card banner is tough.
It's not, you just shouldn't do it. I understand you're trying to make it look like you got more history than you do. I get it. You got to build off of something, but yeah, that was tough. So Sox lose 2 out of 3. This series stung like a stingray.
Come on, Steve.
I know. This was tough, man. This one felt like you were getting stung
time for joking.
By a big old stingray. The Ray Tank, again, love the Ray Tank. That was super cool. It's my favorite part of this park.
R.I.P. Steve Irwin.
R.I.P. Steve Irwin. That'll do it for our series recap. Again, Sox lose 2 out of 3, unfortunately. They now head to Toronto, where they were this past week. And we will break down that series coming up next.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Alrighty, we are back. Little Red Sox-Jays preview. Just like the previous series between these two teams, this one will take place in Toronto in the six. Joey, pitching matchups.
Okay! The Red Sox are heading back to the six once again for a four-game series that I totally knew was four games. Game one is going to be Nathan Eovaldi versus Jose Berríos. Talk about a showdown. Berríos allowed one run in six innings in his last outing, which was against the Sox. He allowed eight hits in that outing, including doubles from Devers, JD, and Xander. Eovaldi is very good. He went 4 2/3 against the Jays last week, allowing one run on a Zach Collins home run. Game two is Nick Pivetta versus Kevin Gausman.
Canada native, Nick Pivetta.
Oh, Nick Pivetta heading home. Kevin Gausman is a snooze fest. Eight innings, one earned last time out. He stinks. I hate watching him. Nick Pivetta had a tough start last time against Toronto. He went four innings, gave up five runs. In his defense, though, it was 4/20. It was Fenway's birthday. And it was my cat Goose's birthday. Maybe that was getting inside a little bit. Game three! Michael Wacha versus Ross Stripling. Ross Stripling, we did not see in this last series. He has pitched a total of 10 innings in four appearances this year and is rocking a 4.5 ERA. He's got five pitches to his name, a four-seamer, slider, changeup, curveball, and a sinker. His slider's been okay this year, but since 2018, every year it has been hit at over a 300 clip. Wacha is an ace. He's allowed three runs all year, has a 1.88 ERA.
It's been good.
And that's, I have to look that up, but I think it's pretty good.
It's good.
Game four, Alek Manoah versus
TBD.
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 We want to hear you in the Rogers Center this week screaming TBD.
TBD.
Alek Manoah looks like he was a dick in high school, but he's also filthy. He's very good at throwing the ball.
He really does, though, right? This Alek Manoah looks like a bully.
Yeah.
And he looks like he's still a bully. He looks like the bully that, like, never stopped being the bully. And it's like, dude, you should stop bullying people. You're in your mid-20s now. Anyway.
Yeah. Like, he would, like, sarcastically, like, talk about something you really care about.
I know.
You know what I mean?
I know.
He'd be like, hey, Steve, watch Jurassic Park lately?
Yeah. It's like, dude, hey, what the hell? I was just walking out to the field. Why did you say that? Anyway. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, he's rocking a 2.0 ERA in his first 18 innings of the year. And he's also got 18 strikeouts in that time. He throws a four-seamer, a slider, a sinker, and a changeup. And that will do it for your series pitching preview.
Very good. Your weather update for Toronto. Monday, it's going to pour. It is going to rain on Monday if you're going to the old ball game. Again, this is in a dome, kind of like Tropicana. But if you're going to the game, wear a coat to the game. It's going to be low 50s. Tuesday, another 7 o'clock start. Upper 40s for Tuesday. Cloudy Tuesday. Wednesday, also cloudy. Upper 30s. Going to be cold on Wednesday.
Oh, my goodness.
Thursday. Again, upper 30s, lower 40s, but it is going to be sunny out for the afternoon game that's in a dome. So that's what your weather update is looking like for the Toronto series. Some series predictions. I'm just going to do it again, all right? I know this is a dumb. You shouldn't do the same prediction for two series. Trevor Story's getting his first damn home run in this series, and it's going to happen. I thought it was going to happen in Tampa, a.k.a. St. Pete. It's happening in Toronto. He is hitting .234 with only three extra base hits and 47 at-bats so far. The glove has been good. The throws have been average. Trevor Story is really going to start fine-tuning his overall presence on both ends in Toronto, and he's going deep. I got the offense getting going a little bit. It's hard for the offense to get much worse. 1.6 runs in the previous series, 2.6 runs in this series. Against the Rays, and now coming up against the Jays. If you want to win that series, you got to bop. You got to hit. You got to hit some ding-dongs. JD better be back. And if he is, expect some more noise from the lineup. They got to get going, man. It's in this Rays series, there were only two of the last 25 innings that the Red Sox scored in. That is just can't happen. That's that. If I'm Cora, I'm like, hey, just a little stat for you. Let's clean that up.
Take a look at this one, fellas.
Any predictions, Joey, for the series?
No, but I don't. But I was going to say, that's a joke. Of course I do. But you can't keep doing the story thing. I'm fine with you hating it,
but this last time I'm doing it.
Okay. I'm okay with it being the last time, but you can't just keep saying it every series, and then when it finally happens, be like, did it.
Oh, no. It happens in this series, it'll be like, I called it, but I didn't really call it. I'm not going to take full call it credit.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that. You're a man of honor and dignity and respect. This is going to be a split series. It's, I think, Sox take two. But that's not what you asked. You asked for specific predictions. I think TBD is really going to show up, man.
TBD's got a filthy slider. I know that much. But we haven't seen much of him, though, at the big league level yet.
You don't think his performance in Salem is anything to...
No, not really. I know he had one spot start last year, and I think it was, two earned over seven? The fact that he goes seven in a spot start was a little... You're looking at it? It was a little nuts. Mm-hmm. How many Ks?
You said he went seven innings?
Yeah, how many Ks?
I think he had 13.
You think... Did he have... He had 13. That's right. Hold he had 13.
On. Yeah, he had 13 Ks, yeah.
So, TBD versus that bully, Alek Manoah. I like TBD in that matchup.
I do, too. I also see Xander hitting two bombs.
Two bombs for Xander. The number on the back of his jersey. That is our series preview for Red Sox, Jays. Hopefully there's a lot of runs by the old Red Sox team. Coming up next, we got some more of your slide in the DMs.
At Alma, we know the connection between you and your therapist matters. But if you're already feeling stressed and burnt out, the idea of trying to find a therapist you really connect with can be overwhelming. That's why Alma's focused on helping you find the right therapist for you. When you browse their online directory, you can filter your search based on the qualities that are most important to you. Then you can book a free 15-minute consultation call with any therapist you're interested in seeing, so you can get a feel for whether they're the right fit before you commit to a full-length session. Alma also makes it easy for mental health care providers to navigate insurance. That's why 95% of therapists in their directory accept insurance for sessions, so you can find care that's affordable without stressing about the paperwork. You want to talk to someone, but not just anyone. Alma is there to help you find the right fit. Visit helloalma.com/therapy60 to schedule a free consultation today. That's helloalma.com/therapy60.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
We are back. Slide in the DM. And closing thoughts coming up here as we wrap up episode 8 of Inside the Old Monster. That would be the dumbest.
Inside ye old monster.
Inside ye old monster. That's the only thing we got approved by MLB. let's see. Comes in from Mitch.
Hey, Mitch.
Slide in the DM. If you were a big league pitcher, what set of pitches would you throw?
I would love to be the only guy who can touch 101 with a four-seamer and throw a knuckleball. I think that'd be sick. To throw touch triple digits, and then the next pitch you see is 64, and doing flippy doos.
If you imagine throwing 105 and then throwing 60 the next
pitch.
Yeah,
that's what I want to be. I want to be the
guy
that
you just 45 mph difference between your
two. Same arm slot. Yeah.
Oh, I like that. I like that. I'd want a filthy slide. I want a Tanner Houck slider. I'd want a Hunter Green fastball, and I'd want a Mariano Rivera cutter. So
and a first ballot into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I'd want to be the greatest pitcher of all time.
I think I want like the greatest curveball, the greatest fastball.
I mean, hey, if you're opening it up to like that's an option, then fine. This comes in from Mike.
Hey, Mike.
Mike's got his dog's name is Nomar. What's up, Mike? If you could void slash stop one transaction in Red Sox history, which one would it be? Stop a trade, free agent signing, firing, etc. I got one here. I got one real quick.
Yeah,
I wish they had kept Beltre. I loved Adrian Beltre. He had a great season, and he could have. I mean, he got his number retired in Texas after he left Boston when he was in his 30s. So I would have loved to keep Beltre. What do you got? A lot of people at home are saying Mookie. Stop. What do you got? What
sure,
do you got?
Sure, sure. I wasn't even thinking that. I was more thinking about like player that came here that you don't want here. So even when you said Beltre, I was like, oh yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go a little bit of a cop out and say Pablo because it was just hard to root for Pablo. No,
Pablo's the correct answer.
I think so, dude. I think like if there's one, I mean, it's Crawford or Pablo, depending on how old you are, really.
Yeah.
But he was just impossible to root for. He's a guy you don't want on your team.
I would take Crawford if you're taking Pablo. I know I already said the belt, but if it was like ever a signing, it would be Crawford. I swear that dude's still bitching about his time in Boston. It's like, dude, like you weren't good. You had a small stretch of being good. If you play very well in Boston, you get cheered. You get idolized. If you stink, you get booed. Sorry.
It's kind of what happens.
That's what happens. You're not in St. Pete anymore. This comes in from Alex.
What up?
How about this one? If you could add any food to typical ballpark selections, what food would you choose? For example, I think beef jerky would be I hate beef jerky, so I'm not going to finish that one.
I like beef jerky.
Something that you could add to the old ball yard that's not on like that's not typically on the menu.
Ugh, it's tough. It's tough because you got to think of like what is good at a ballpark. You know, like finger food is kind of like the go-to. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You don't want to have like a spoon. You know, you don't want like French onion soup while you're trying to you know squeeze your way into the bleachers or something.
Yeah.
Ugh. Do you got one, Steve?
Yeah. It would be chicken quesadillas.
Oh, quesadillas are great.
Like nothing too sloppy. Just like the three triangles with the sour cream, little guac, little salsa. I would like that a lot, and a nice little like. Not bowls, but like little like, yeah, I would like that.
Oh, dude, I'm gonna take a gyro or a falafel.
That's fair.
Because you know something contained, but like you know, hot dogs are great. Don't get me wrong, but I'd like something a little higher quality than just like a steamed meat tube.
And that's
like,
fair.
Have, like some lamb or some falafel. Like I think that would be a great addition.
For the sake of time, once again, this is Steve needing to catch a flight. This comes in from Justin. He says, can Whitlock pitch all 9 innings every game? Don't see why not. Yeah.
We'll ask him. Yeah.
Like,
we'll have him back on.
Cora, wake up, dude. Have Whitlock pitch all 9 innings every game, and the Sox are undefeated so far.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
I don't know why he's not doing it, to be honest with you. We'll have AC and Whitlock on at the same time. And we'll be like, all right, explain it to us because we don't get it.
Again, this makes no sense. Like, why can't he just pitch every single game and dominate? Are we all dumb? This is the obvious thing to do.
I don't know.
But anyway, I don't really have a closing thought. My closing thought is just people that are in the aisles at this park, at Fenway.
I don't have a closing thought, but here's my closing thought.
Yeah, I don't have a closing thought. No, but this is normally a closing thought is more thought out. This was just like, it's just been bugging me. People are always looking around, stopping in the middle of the aisle, driving me nuts. Oh, my real closing thought. I got to meet Tom Flash Gordon today, and that was wonderful.
Way.
He was my favorite closer when I was a kid, and I was like, what's up, man? I'm Steve. You were my guy when I was 8. And he's like, I really appreciate that, man. That's great. He said, that's great twice. And
that's awesome.
I pat him on the back, and I talked to him for 10 seconds, but passed him in the hall, and that was a cool interaction. What's your closing thought?
Yankees fans.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm kind of a little floored here, Steve. I don't know if you saw.
Kind of stunned we haven't talked about this until now. Yeah.
I know that you've kind of been in your St. Pete bubble.
Yeah.
And you ordered me not to text you while you were there.
That's what I said. I was like, listen up, pal.
I texted you once and you called me and you were like, I'm sorry, are you dumb? Or
yeah.
Are you stupid?
I was like, shut up, idiot.
I'm in Florida. Jump
what
text.
Do you not get, you bozo? That's what I said.
Yeah. And so I didn't want to check in with you because of the obvious. and see if you had seen this or not. But it turns out Yankees fans are scumbags, which is like,
like,
kind
are you
of,
seeing this?
It has kind of rocked my world. John Sterling saying, that's not, those aren't Yankee fans. Yeah, they are, dude. That's who they are. That's Yankees fans, bro. I don't know how you've had your job for this long and have never met a Yankee fan, but that's what they're like. That's what most of them are like. And all the Yankee fans on Twitter who are saying, oh, well, that's not all of us. That's just a few small whatever. If one guy threw something, that's something.
Yeah.
Like three dozen of you threw something. And in my experience, that is what you guys are like. So it's not shocking. And it's awesome that dude who I definitely don't remember, it wasn't Straw. Was it Straw?
It was Straw.
Somebody.
Yeah.
It was Straw who said, worst fan base on the planet. Crazy that he said it, but something tells me he's not the only big leaguer who thinks it.
I know. I think a lot of big leaguers will go to that point. I think it's specifically the bleacher creatures out there that get a little unreasonable. So him saying that, ballsy, that is going to – I don't think that's going to solve anything. I think that's going to make for some real fun experiences in the outfield for that dude the rest of his career. But I do respect him having his teammates back and – I don't know. Would I have gone that far? Probs not. If I played in, you know, if I had future games coming up at Yankee Stadium, but I do think that was pretty ballsy to do. So that will do it for episode 8. Sox drop 2 out of 3 here in St. Pete. They are off to Toronto. Tanner Houck not available. It sounds like there's not going to be a lot of guys that are missing the trip. I think most of the team is vaxxed. So for Joey Capone, I am Steve Peralt. We will be back later this week. Until then, go Sox, kid. Inside the Monster is a production of Odyssey in partnership with the Boston Red Sox. The show is produced by me, Steve Peralt. Our executive producer is Lena Glazer. Mixing and video editing by Joey Capone. Special thanks to the Red Sox and Major League Baseball for their contributions to the production of this podcast.